welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, we've been talking about the work that God has done for mankind. We were looking at yesterday the principles of justification, sanctification, glorification. And if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, and even if you haven't, there are basically, I could say, three stages that every person comes through when they become a believer. Now, what is that first stage? Well, I think we can all relate to it. Some have accepted Jesus as a child, and many in the middle age, or some even in the golden years. But in that first stage, basically, we are spiritually dead. We are unsaved. We are ruled by Satan, just as the rest of the world is currently is, regardless of how sophisticated or wise they esteem themselves to be. The wisdom of a man is foolishness to God, and it says the foolishness of God, the preaching of the cross, is its foolishness to them that perish. But we understand the wisdom of God. There's such an important principle, and it's hard to relate to someone who is not born again. But when you are willing to humble yourself and the arrogance of human pride and the mind of man, has God given man a mind? Of course. And He doesn't want us to be mindless wonders, but it's only as we submit to Him, the eternal intelligence, the He who holds the all knowledge, all wisdom. I mean, who can compare to our God? There is none like Him. But if we are willing to submit, then God causes us to develop spiritually, first of all, and even intellectually and mentally. We begin to understand things that we could never comprehend before. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, beloved. Those that aren't saved, they just don't get it. And they won't get it until they are willing to humble themselves. And then God, He goes through a process to bring us, well, first of all, we're justified from the moment we've accepted Jesus. And then there's a process of sanctification that occurs. And then that final stage when we're with the Lord of glorification, where we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, praise God, and will be known even as we are known. So that first stage is that of a spiritually dead person, the unsaved. And then once we are willing to accept Jesus, God brings us out of that position of death, if you will. And then we come into what I guess you could call a spiritual wilderness, just like Israel did. They were delivered from Egyptian bondage, but they were only beginning to learn the things of God. Remember, Moses went up to the mount. He was given the Ten Commandments. The voice of God was heard by all the congregation, but the law was imparted to Israel at that time. And so then they began a learning process. Whoever had ears to hear, that's why it's so important. Even when Jesus was alive, he would speak in parables. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears today, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So we move into that learning position. We are saved, but we still are basically ruled by self. We need to be trained in godliness. We need to become informed, taught the Word of God. We're definitely spiritually alive, but we're still babies. We're still carnal. And we are learning to walk. in the things of God. If we live in the Spirit, and that's what happens when we're saved, we need to walk in the Spirit. And then there's that third position, that which comes with maturity. It comes with growth. It is an ongoing process by which God wants all of His people to occupy that place. You know, there's a law physically. What is it in physics? Anything at rest will remain at rest. Anything in motion tends to remain in motion. That's in spiritually, though, unless we can't just stay still. If we stay still because we're in such warfare, the God of this world is fighting against the people of God, we tend to backslide and we retrograde. We don't want to do that. We want to continually go forward, to continually climb the mountain of the Lord. And so that's the position God wants us all in. He wants us to be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be fulfilling His will. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How does that occur? By the Word of God. He wants us spiritually alive and spiritually living and walking in the Spirit, not carnal, because it's possible to love God, but unless we are willing to be diligent and apply ourselves to the things God tells us to do, to be in fellowship, to hear, to study, to pray, to do the things that a Christian should do so that we can be strong in God, then we're carnal still. Now, Jesus is our Logos. He is the Word of God. And there's many references to Jesus in the Scripture, so many ways that Jesus can be spoken of, that God can be spoken of. Why? Because he's multifaceted. There's no end to our God. And all those names refer to the very aspects of His character, if you will. He's the second man, Adam. What does that mean? Well, our first man, Adam, he was named Adam, he failed us because he willfully disobeyed God. It says Eve was deceived, but Adam knew, and he willfully disobeyed. And Jesus is the Amen of God. He's the so be it. He's the Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? Greek word meaning the beginning and the end. Praise God, He's our advocate. He lives to make intercession for us. He's the bread of life. Isn't that true? He's been broken for us. That's what He said at the very Last Supper with His disciples. He instituted that, what you call a sacrament of the church, the communion, the bread and the cup, where we are to remember the Lord's death until He come. He's the captain of our salvation, the captain of our vessel, if you will, just like a captain of a ship. He's at the helm. He should be, not us. He's the great and the chief shepherd. Oh, that's one of the most beautiful. You see, He gives us all these names so we can relate to Him in the various aspects of His character, His personality, His purposes. And just like a shepherd, not in those days, many could relate to what it meant to shepherd sheep or cattle, but today that's only a few do that. But it shows the tenderness and care that He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. He's the chief cornerstone. Here we have a building analogy, if you will. He's our deliverer, praise God. He's the door. He's the door to the sheepfold. We can't get in. We can't get to God. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is Emmanuel. Oh, goodness. In Luke's gospel, we read that at Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah spoke about the child that she be born of a virgin. He's our faithful witness. Why is there so many names? Well, it says Jesus, as it shows Him in Revelation, the mighty conqueror on the white horse, His name is written on His thigh, and He is crowned with many crowns. Why? Because there's so many wonderful, beautiful aspects to Him. He is the head of the church. That's the important thing to recognize. Everyone who is in fivefold ministry, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, prophet, apostle, beloved, we are all parts of the body, but there's only one head. There's only one who has the authority to speak to what the body should do. He gives Paul that brilliant analogy of the body. Well, just like our physical bodies, it's not our hands. It's not our mouth, really. It's not our eyes, but it's the brain. It's the head, which reflects the intelligence, the functioning part of the body. This is Jesus. And that's why, you know, if we had the mind of Christ, I said, I don't know how many times, I'm simple-minded. If we had the mind of Christ, we would all be in agreement. Why? Because Jesus isn't schizophrenic and he's not double-minded. He has the mind of God. And so if we would seek that, we would be truly one in the Spirit, and we would understand. He's given us all things to richly to enjoy, and we begin to understand the purposes of God and the plan of God, His wonderful plan of salvation. Beloved, we've tasted so little of what is yet before us, the wisdom of God, His grace, His mercy. What a wonder. We'll never be bored in heaven, beloved. He's the just one. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb sacrificed before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God. Remember, that's what John the Baptist said He was. He is our life. He's the light of life. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He is the Almighty One, the Lord of glory, the Lord of all. Beloved, He is our God, and He's causing us to bring forth fruit and to harvest. The light, beloved, is beginning to shine through His people. He's our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, the Lord of Righteousness. He's our Mediator, the Bright and the Morning Star, our Ransom, our Redeemer, our Rock, our Savior, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings. He's the true vine, the truth, the way, the life. Beloved, He is our all and in all. He is in us, and greater is He that is in us than all of the forces of the demonic, than he, the devil, that's in this world. That's 1 John 4:4. Beloved, we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have everything we need, and His name is Jesus. I hope you are encouraged. I hope you are blessed and invited and spurred to praise Him for all that He has done for all of us and for each one of us in particular. We are saved by His precious blood. We'll never be able to praise Him through all the eons of eternity enough. Amen? Never. The words, we can't fully enjoy and anticipate the things that are set before us. But beloved, I don't know about you, just thinking about these things makes us hunger and thirst after His righteousness more and more. Well, I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.